Hey everyone, you're listening to God's Whole Story, a podcast of Worship Center. We know just how hard it is to read God's Word and understand it, so we decided to read the Bible chronologically this year and talk about it together. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey everybody, welcome to God's Whole Story. My name is Ryan. I'm here today with Chris.
Hey, hey.
And we're continuing this journey through Corinthians at this point. So we're in 2 Corinthians. We're going to pick up in chapter 2, and we'll be pretty much, we'll be in 2 Corinthians all day. Making it to chapter 6. So as we kind of comb through this little bit, what sticks out to you, Chris?
Well, we get reunited with the gentleman that we met in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we had a guy who was sleeping with a stepmother, and Paul called him out, and we kind of talked about that in that episode, that it was a little bit like it was strong language. He was going to be handed over to Satan. And then one of the first things we pick up today is that we're meeting this guy who caused all the trouble, and it seems like something's happened with him.
I feel like that is the part of the story that most often gets dropped off. It's like, hey, don't forget, he comes back. Mm-hmm. And Paul's like, hey, like, he's been out there long enough. Let's forgive him. If you forgive him, I forgive him too. And let's not let Satan to outsmart us. I think that's kind of an interesting line. Basically in the sense of like, let's continue to forgive people. So he's been cast out, he's been corrected, he's been, I guess, excluded from the community. And now it's at a point where it's like, hey, let's bring this guy back in and let's make sure that there's forgiveness and restoration here.
Yeah. And I think, it is interesting because it's always one of those tricky things in pastoral situations. Like if there are consequences or if there is even, you know, something that happens that does kind of bring a bit of a gap in that relationship. Mm-hmm. At what point then do we kind of go out and, as the person starts to make the changes and like pursue them? I think sometimes we forget that part.
Well, it's super easy to forget that part, mm-hmm. because at this point there wouldn't have been a church on every corner. And so it was not possible for this guy to be like, fine, I'm going down to the Methodists. Like, see you later. I'll be doing life down there. Which is a new challenge in our day. But also, I think sometimes we just drop the ball in trying to go after people that we say we love and care for. And then we just kind of like forget them sort of awkwardly, I feel like.
And I think obviously if someone's willing to work on things, you walk with them. There isn't this separation thing. But, you know, the situation here, this was an extreme thing. It seems like that they were, there had been a number of times that the guy was confronted. The church was actually being infected by it. They were celebrating this sin in their midst. And so this did require a little bit more of severe action. But even back when we talked about it in 1 Corinthians, this was always for restoration. And hey, it's pretty cool that it seems like the restoration occurred. Mm-hmm. So when we see this, we want to celebrate this, that, you know, no one's ever too far gone. And God is the God of restoration. He can bring people back from some pretty foul things.
Mm-hmm. When we were finished reading today, you said, man, there's a ton of defense going on in here. You want to talk about that some?
Yeah. If we just kind of remember some of the background for 2 Corinthians, and really a lot of the books in the New Testament, there's always false teachers going around that are opposing Paul, opposing his message. And particularly in the Greek culture, there was a lot of things that Greeks valued, be it eloquence and wisdom, even down to like physique, and like being physically strong. And there's a lot of kind of some tongue-in-cheek things in this chapter 2 where Paul's defending his message, he's defending his style, he's defending the fact that he actually at one point uses this illustration of we are ordinary jars of clay. Like on the outside, we don't look like anything special, which everybody would have had tons of jars of clay in this culture. There's archaeology has tons of these clay pots. And he's saying, look, the extraordinary thing is not what's on the outside here. It's actually the power of Christ in us. And that would have been contrary to the way that these false teachers or these Greek people were doing it. They were all about the outside. And so he's saying, the church, you're our letter of recommendation. Like, we don't even have these degrees or, you know, all these people giving us references on the back of our books and those things. It's the fruit is in you. So if it seems like Paul's kind of defending himself a little bit, he actually is. Mm-hmm. He's kind of making this case that his message, his style, it's inspired by God, not, for lack of a better term, the ways of the world of that time.
I love the confidence he expresses in his people. He's like, hey, you are the testimony of the work we've been doing. that's a lot of pressure. I don't know, like, it's just cool that he's willing to be like, yeah, if anybody has any question about our ministry, they can just come see you.
And we've seen that the Corinth church wasn't like the, you know, the pure spotless
land. Not at all. Not at all.
They were messy, mm-hmm. really messy. So there's that cool dynamic that even in their mess, there was real life changing happening here that Paul felt like he could boast of it. That's pretty cool.
I love 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, talking about the new life that we have in Christ and how our primary role is reconciling people to God. And it's kind of cool reading that shortly after Paul's talking about this guy that's been given over and been cast out of the church. It's kind of cool that that's coming up right after that. He's saying, hey, like, restore this guy. And remember, it is our role as followers of Jesus to reconcile people to God. Like, how awesome that is as an active sense of what we should be doing as followers of Jesus. I love that.
Lots of good stuff in here.
You got anything else?
I think we're good.
We've tapped out all the good stuff for today. All right. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye. 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 5. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. When I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. But I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report for you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom, but to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this is the new way, gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. We are changed into his glorious image. Therefore, Since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's only hidden from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made the light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts that we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we lived under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we who continue to preach, because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever.
For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident. We would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good and evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so that you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, and if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, the new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness, then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure trouble and hardship and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We prove ourselves by purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten. We have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us.
Hey guys, this is Ryan, and I hope you are getting a lot out of God's whole story. It means a lot to us, even as we are reading through God's word every single day in the order that it happened. If you want to go ahead and follow us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at God's Whole Story Podcast. We would love it if you would share this thing with your friends or people that you know, or just share what's sticking out to you. You can either send us a DM, or you could actually email us at podcasts@worshipcenter.org. You can email us if you have any questions, if something stuck out to you, if you'd like us to pray for you. And if you want a Bible, if you don't have one right now, or if you want a copy of the one that we're using to go through God's whole story, we'd be happy to send that to you. So go ahead and reach out to us in any way that you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.